¡Vamos, amigos!
What's cracking, everybody? It's your boy Duke, episode 36 of the Talking Soccer Podcast, coming to you live Wednesday evening after some awesome Champions League action. Well, awesome depending upon which side of my bets you are on today. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. But for those who don't know, I am your host, Duke. You can find me on Twitter at DukeDFS. I'm the director of football soccer over at EliteFantasy.com. And that's where you can find all of my DFS action. You can also find my bets over at EliteSportsBetting.com. Get over there right now. Tommy G is on fire. He's up 54.28 units on college football sides alone. College basketball just got started up. All four of our guys last night, opening night, positive on the first night. Night Ghost over at the NHL, doing some NFL stuff as well. Had a week where he won 45 units. So I mentioned my betting day. Let's talk about that briefly right off the jump. And today's going to be kind of a state of the union. Where are we at with soccer DFS? Wife was out of town last night in New Orleans for some business. I had a couple cocktails and thought, you know what? Screw it. Let's do it. Let's talk about some things that have been bothering me and how we can possibly turn this thing around, because we've seen zero growth over the last 2.5-3 years in this community. And I want to see things change for the better. But before we do that, we got to talk about this day of Champions League. And for those who didn't get a chance to watch, maybe you're stuck in the cubes. Let's do a quick recap. Paris Saint-Germain, 1-0 win over Club Brugge. Real Madrid tore apart Galatasaray 6-0. Bayern Munich in the early game won 2-0 over Olympiacos. Tottenham 4-0. Win there. Atalanta, Man City 1-1. Nightmare. Oh, my God. Zagreb 3-3. Lokomotiv Moscow lost 1-2 to Juventus, and Bayer Leverkusen won 2-1 over Atletico Madrid, despite a red card on Amiri late. So, wild day there. A couple of scores that stand out. Number one, Real Madrid. Teenager Rodrigo scores 3 goals, picks up at least 1 assist, maybe 2. Sergio Ramos converts a PK. This is the main game that was on TNT. I had to watch it. I'm not going to play for Bleacher Report's horrible coverage, even though it's only 10 bucks a month. Screw that. Teenager Rodrigo comes in, scores in the 4th minute. Marcelo with the assist. 3 minutes later, same combination. Marcelo to Rodrigo. Cruz picks up the hockey assist on both those goals. Unfortunately, that's worth 0 points in DFS soccer. But pathetic performance by Galatasaray. I mean, literally just shut it down. 8 minutes into the game, the onslaught was on. Congratulations to Real Madrid, who, are they back? Are they back? And let me ask you this. Think about the depth chart at Real Madrid right now that they have on the wings. They brought in Vinicius 2 years ago, I believe. A lot of money. A lot of money for that teenager, and I'm sure he'll come good. Rodrigo starts over him. Vasquez, healthy, starts over him. Obviously, Asensio picked up the horrible injury. You got Gareth Bale there. That's a drama situation from start to finish over the last 3 years. He's saying he's healthy. Real Madrid saying he's not. Good for Real Madrid getting a 6-0 victory there. But let's talk about my 3 bets that we had today over on EliteSportsBetting.com. And spoiler alert, boys and girls, we went 0-3. 0-3 today. So not a great day from the betting side of things. But we had Zagreb to win plus 140. 1 unit to win 1.4 units. Shakhtar goes up 1-0. Not great. 12 minutes later, Zagreb scores to make it 1-1. Now, this game is taking place in Croatia. Zagreb ties it up. 74th minute, still 1-1. Nicola Moro picks up his 2nd yellow card. He's sent off for Zagreb. Just 5 minutes later, this will give you a little idea of what this referee's doing here. Marlos picks up his 2nd yellow card in 6 minutes for Shakhtar to get a red card. We're both down to 10 men. 4 minutes later, Luka Ivanusek scores a goal for Zagreb. We're up 2-1. Yes! Right now we're cashing. Just 6 minutes later, Arjan Ademi scores a goal. Zagreb's up 3-1. 89th minute. Boom. Cash that ticket, right? Nope, nope, nope. Additional time, 5 minutes. This is key. Additional time, 5 minutes. In the 93rd minute, Junior Moraes scores a goal to make it 3-2. Zagreb still winning over Shakhtar. In the 98th minute, how many minutes of additional time do we have? 5. In the 98th minute, Tete scores a goal for Shakhtar to make it 3-3, and there goes our +140 victory for Zagreb. And that's exactly how our day went. You look over, we had Man City -1.5. City's up 1-0 in the first half, cruising, 43rd minute. Man City get another penalty, or get a penalty, excuse me. Sterling scored from open play in the 7th minute. City get a penalty to go up 2-0. Gabby Jesus misses the entire goal. Head into halftime. Ederson comes off injured. Claudio Bravo comes on. Now, that's a big switch. Just 4 minutes into the half, Pasalak scores for Atalanta. It's 1-1. A couple minutes after that, Claudio Bravo, red card. Kyle Walker goes in goal because Ederson's already off. Bravo's got a red card. Nightmare. City end up tying the game 1-1. So we could have been up 2-0 before halftime, cruising to a nice victory in our -1.5. Nope, missed penalty. Goalie comes off injured. They score. We get a red card. Unbelievable. So we're 0-2. Now how about PSG? We had PSG -2. My thoughts here. Ignore the game from last time. It was 1-0 at half. Kylian Mbappe came on, changed the game, scored a hat trick in the second half. Ended up being 5-1, I think, PSG or Club Brugge. I did think there'd be goals in this game. I didn't think it would be 1-0, which is how it ended up. So my thought was -2, PSG are going to win. They're likely to score 2-3 goals. Do I think Brugge is going to score? No. So I think at worst we get our money back. And for the odds we were getting, I liked the -2 odds there because it was more likely for me that PSG would win 3-0 or 2-0 than Club Brugge to score a goal. And then, you know, maybe we tie the game, maybe we win 2-1, something like that. Not the case. Actually, Brugge put up a hell of a fight. Statistically, very even game. Brugge actually outshot PSG. Again, I was not able to watch this because screw you, Bleacher Report. But horrible beat there. So we can just say we were on the wrong side of that bet. But those other two, City -1.5, Zagreb +140. Come on, man. Give us a break. But that's not really what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about the state of DFS soccer. Kind of DFS in general, but DFS soccer specifically. I put up a little thread, like I mentioned last night. Went to the bar, grabbed a margarita, started tweeting some things out. And came up with this thread. I'm going to read it to you, and then we'll go through it line by line. And there's a couple things I want to address at the end of this podcast. We will talk briefly about this weekend's EPL slate. Again, DFS article out on Thursday over on elitefantasy.com. Cheat sheets out Friday. And we'll do a Sunday Funday article on Saturday for Sunday's EPL slate. But I put this thread out last night. Wanted to get your guys' thoughts. So here it is. A couple of thoughts on DFS Stalker. Stop spilling your candy in the lobby. Why are we willing to give away baseline information for free to our competition? This model makes sense in a community of hundreds of thousands like NFL DFS, where that generates money, not in DFS soccer. It'd be great if one of the sites decided to make a concerted effort to promote and grow this game. Why hasn't this caught on in Europe? Could DFS soccer be bigger than football? Are regulations that tough in countries where you can literally bet on every single corner? Have the sites decided the payoff is not worth the effort? This community in general is full of good people. That might be to our detriment. Everyone stays in their corner and makes their living. I'm open to suggestions to put this thing forward. What the sport needs is a couple hundred thousand dudes drawing completely dead every single freaking weekend like we see in the NFL. Until then, happy Jorginho Day. Of course, in reference to Jorginho's 2 penalty kicks in Chelsea's absolutely bonkers game with Ajax on Tuesday. But let's take this line by line. Obviously, in total, we're touching a lot of different areas there, but essentially, the overall theme is we're not growing. Why are we making everyone else smarter in our small little community? So first and foremost, stop spilling your candy in the lobby. Now, what does that mean? May have been the first time you guys have heard this. I come from a sales background. It's part of a system that essentially salespeople tend to do. Your candy is your knowledge. It's your expertise. And horrible salespeople all over the place love to share their knowledge and their expertise before even finding out the problem. The second someone, a prospect, let's say, says, yeah, we've had some issues with our phones. Oh my God, let me tell you about our new phones. Immediately jump into presentation mode, sales mode. That's not necessarily exactly what I'm talking about, but essentially, why are we giving everyone our expertise? Why are we sharing our knowledge without any compensation behind? If we're just giving it away, we're highlighting all our features and benefits of every single player that's available on the slate. We make it very easy for no entry fee for the rest of our user base to have success. This isn't the time to share our expertise. So we need to stop spilling our candy in the lobby. Line number two, why are we willing to give away baseline information for free to our competition? Again, this goes back to a little bit what we just talked about. Our community is not huge. Why are we giving everything away for free? You think about what are the major factors in determining value for a player outside of their price on DraftKings and what they can potentially score. That's obviously the way to determine value, but we get deeper into it, more granular. Who are the set piece taker? Who are the penalty takers? What are the goal scoring odds? Who has the most floor points? Who has open play value? What's the implied goal total for the game? What's the implied goal total for the team? What are the expected goals for the team? What's the expected goals for each individual player? These are all relatively readily available pieces of information, but it takes some work to find them and put it all together. Why are we making it easier for lazy people for free? For free, no cost. If your argument that this is growing the game and we're helping casual players, drawing casual players in, I just have to straight up disagree with you. We're just never going to agree on this. Why? Because where is the player growth in the player pool? It's the same players every single week. You look at the lobby on Head to Ted, same guys every single week. You look at the double ups, same guys every single week. You look at the two-man, three-man, you know, the 50-50s, the double. It's the same people every single week. Where is the player growth? Even from a GPP standpoint, like every sport, it's the same people at the top. You throw in some different guys every once in a while, right? But where is the growth? So you can't tell me this is helping grow the game because it simply hasn't. It's been going on for too long and we haven't seen the growth. So why are we educating the rest of the people in this player pool? And that goes to the next line. This model makes sense in a community of hundreds of thousands like NFL DFS where that generates money. So we look at the NFL model basically, right? When it first started, all the fish come in. Get absolutely cleaned out. There's no advertising dollars going to bring new players in. So now we have to re-incentivize those people who've been getting their ass kicked for years to come back and join the player pool. That's when it makes sense when you have that many people that have left the game to bring them back in to give them what they feel is a little bit of an edge on their competition. So at some point, the fish just stop joining the game because they're, you know, there wasn't an incentive. We bring some information to them, some knowledge. It's a normal transition for them to come back, and it's a normal transition for the community to then offer some baseline information like a Roto Grinders or, you know, any other, I don't want to talk about Fantasy Cruncher in this podcast, but anything to eliminate the barrier to entry for new players is exciting. For NFL, where we have hundreds of thousands of people who are literally willing to lose every single week and do. Not in our tiny community. There's like less than 3,000 regular players. Stop leveling the playing field for everybody. Plus, there's just more people watching the NFL than EPL and UCL, right? There are more people who are familiar with fantasy football. It's a normal transition to head over to daily. We'll talk about that here in a second from a soccer perspective. Next line, not in DFS soccer. Okay, it'd be great if one of the sites decided to make a concerted effort to promote and grow this game. Look, I have some mixed feelings about this, but let me just put it this way. DK tried to, sort of, put some resources behind the game. They, this summer, and even late last year, decided to introduce some creative tournaments, some different opportunities, especially, specifically, to create engagement, some bonuses for players who played the most. So there was incentive for the regulars, and there was, hopefully, some draw for new casual players, especially in a time of year when basically all you have is MLB, right? NFL's over, college basketball's done, college football isn't starting till the fall, NBA's done, wraps up, you know, late spring, early summer. this is all they got. Soccer and MLB, maybe some tennis thrown in, which they tried to push really, really hard. They were roundly mocked by the regulars because that's what you do, right? When you're praying for someone to invest in your game, is as soon as they make an effort, you shoot them down for how dumb they are. Why does everyone have to be the funniest douchebag in the room and mock every effort that's made, especially in the DFS community? I feel like it's full of complete asshats who couldn't get laid until their post-college date rape drug kicked in on some unsuspecting girl at a bar. And no, I'm not accusing anyone of rape. That's just what it feels like. Shut up. Stop criticizing every little effort these sites make to improve our game. Because we've already seen what happens when we do that. They just stop trying. And we've shown through our efforts of giving everything away for free, that that's not the way to grow the player pool. So we're reliant on these companies to put resources in, to maybe eat some money, to grow some games. Stop killing them every time they try something. It's ridiculous. Next line, why hasn't this caught on in Europe? This is actually a super interesting conversation. Why hasn't this caught up in Europe? I believe both DraftKings and FanDuel made an effort. I know for sure DraftKings did, and they still do a little bit. Why hasn't this caught on in Europe? In America, we're very used to fantasy sports, where it's a huge industry. It's a billion-dollar industry, specifically, you know, fantasy baseball, fantasy football, both huge, huge, huge. We're used to putting together rosters, sometimes using salary on free agent budget, et cetera. This was a relatively natural transition, especially when betting isn't legal, wasn't legal, we should say, for people to get their fix, their gambling fix. They want to have some skin in the game. They want to have a little extra incentive on every single game. This was a natural transition here in the States. Over in Europe, why hasn't this caught on? Like I said, you can literally bet on every single corner. And maybe that's part of the issue. Perhaps these fish, we'll just keep calling them fish, right? Which I think is kind of a harsh term, but folks who have less of an edge than most and are typically a donation, likely see this as relatively difficult. So I have a salary cap. And I have to pick players from all these different teams. I don't really watch all these different teams. And I have to formulate a lineup. Well, I like, you know, I put some players in. I like this lineup. I take that out. I put some more players in. Well, I really like that lineup. That's a lot of work versus going to the window and saying, you know, give me Brighton plus 200 to win. The odds are there for a reason. It's probably a 50-50 shot, right? No, we know that's not to be the case. But they'll likely take their chances on just a bet versus having to formulate an entire roster. Is that a reason not to keep pushing? I don't think it is. At some point, daily fantasy was brand new for everyone for NFL. We had fantasy football, right? Let me give you an example. Fantasy Premier League Soccer, which we're doing some content on elitefantasy.com, has over 6 million users. You might say that's relatively small. Give me 1% of that. Just give me 1% of the 6 million that attend, you know, now are playing DFS regularly. What's that grow our community by? 20%? I'll take that. Give me 2%. Give me 5%. Give me 10%. If this is a long-term play, for DraftKings, for FanDuel, for others that are in this marketplace. This is a huge market to grow a relatively small piece of your product that, if given time and investment, could significantly help their bottom line. It would significantly grow the player pool. And quite frankly, I think they'd be a more educated introduction or a more educated new user for the soccer product than a lot of the folks who are jumping into it now. Right now, a lot of our new folks are NFL, NBA, college basketball, NHL type players, MMA, who have just lost their ass on everything else and figured, I'll try this. Or they just, you know, happen to hear that their friends like the game. They're going to go watch a game at a pub. Let's throw some money in. Typically not an educated new user. These folks grow up with football, soccer. This is in their lifeblood. This is a natural transition, in my opinion, for those folks. And it's going to require a lot of investment. It's going to require a lot of time. It's going to require a lot of people overseas But for me, this is a natural evolution for this product if they want to take DFS soccer seriously. Once again, if they try things and we mock them every single time, why in the world would they want to put the effort in to grow this community? Now, ultimately, it's a business. They have a bottom line. That's why they do it, not to make us happy. But we got to be thinking about the bigger picture here. Could soccer, DFS soccer, be bigger than football? Probably not. Football's a monster. Are regulations that tough in countries where you can bet on literally every corner? Now, this is something I don't know a ton about, to be completely honest. I did a little bit of research here earlier before the podcast. There certainly is a tiny barrier to entry that any group would have to overcome. There are people playing overseas right now. So to me, it's more of a attracting new users to the site than from a regulation standpoint. Have the sites decided the payoff is not worth the effort? That's essentially what we just talked about now. For me, if I can go grab 2 million new users who are going to be entered into the system, who currently aren't playing NFL, they currently aren't playing NBA, they currently aren't playing NHL, and we've seen how popular at least the first two of those sports are overseas. The games in London are always sold out. Tough to wake most people up to go see those games. Us soccer people are already up. We're used to that, so it's kind of fun. We get a little NFL in the morning. It's not just soccer. We've seen the typical user doesn't play just one sport on a DraftKings or a FanDuel. If we can find 2 million brand new users who've never played any games, introduce them to soccer, and then get them playing other sports, why wouldn't you do that, DraftKings? It makes no sense. FanDuel, I hate FanDuel. Well, I don't hate FanDuel. Just dislike their format, their facelift. It's ridiculous. Their community in general is full of good people, and that might be to our detriment. Let me say this. I've never come across anyone, maybe one guy, I'm not going to name names, who I haven't had at least a decent interaction with. And quite frankly, everyone I've talked to, everyone I've played against, super cordial, kind of fun, joking around, having a good time. This is literally, it's a small community, mostly good people. Where's the a-holes who are really trying to push this thing forward? I got to give a shout out to Jordan Cooper, who's on the player committee, I believe, is pushing for some improvements to not only soccer, but just DFS in general, but I think doing some good work for soccer. And he's one who I think will push some buttons and try to get some things going. But who else is in there? Who else is our voice talking with these companies regularly, trying to create new ideas, give feedback? Everyone's too nice. We need to shake some things up and get some things moving. Because what this sport needs, and this is the last line, is a couple hundred thousand donks basically drawn completely dead. that's what we need. That's what would be fun. That's not what the sport needs. We need a couple hundred thousand people who are winning occasionally and having a really good time doing it and coming back and playing repeatedly. That's what we need. But in order to do that, we need significant investment from the sites. We need some advertising overseas. We need to open up those doors. I'm not willing to move to London to make it happen, but if DraftKings approach me, maybe we can have a conversation. Throw a number at me. We'll see what goes on. But in general, I'm just frustrated. I'm frustrated with the lack of growth in the player pool. I'm frustrated with people giving away countless pieces of vital information for free with zero result. You could say it's a business decision. Hey, we're selling some advertising on a podcast. You know, it makes us $30 a month. Great. Congratulations. Who gives a shit? But that's your business. If you want to do that, go nuts. For me, I don't know why we're educating our tiny, tiny fan base more than it needs to be. Frankly, half the time, you can just eliminate 60% of the player pool right off the jump. And the last thing I want to talk about this, then we'll talk about some EPL. This does feel like kind of a downer of a podcast, but I just had to get this crap off my chest. Unfortunately, for the last, I'd say, 5 or 6 slates, I've seen 2 relatively high-profile players playing the exact same lineup every single slate. I know this is a big issue in larger sports. Typically, it's players splitting entry fees to cover more of the player pool. This is the exact opposite of that. In fact, in some cases, it's kind of a good thing that they're playing the exact same lineup, but it's a little disappointing because one of the people I really respect, the other one I don't know from Adam, but when you're playing two and three mans and you got the same lineup, I would certainly hope they're not splitting profits in trying to take something from 50-50s, two and three mans, or excuse me, three mans, double ups, et cetera. Just, I'm keeping an eye on that. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out moving forward. Perhaps it's a coincidence, small sample size, just five or six slates. Today, for example, the exact same lineup, kind of interesting. But that's not something we need either. I'll tell you what, if we can have a lineup seller join, who's going to get in a couple, 2,000-3,000 new people in, go nuts. Let's run a train. Let's run a train on that stuff. Let's do it. I'll take my guys and our suggestions over a lineup seller there for sure. But same lineup, not that big a deal. As always with my subscribers, we go through in the chat. We're talking about good plays, bad plays, you know, who's moving up in the rankings, down in the rankings after team news comes in. Ultimately, we all end up on relatively the same plays, rarely the same roster. But that's how this system works. I don't know. Just a little frustrated, guys. Frustrated with the community as far as what we're doing here and why we aren't growing. Because we do have good people. We have great people in this community. I don't think it's as toxic as other sports. This would be a good introduction for especially the Euros. But again, they're playing the FPL right now. 6 million people. 6 million people. Let's get 2% of that. Let's get 5% of that. Let's get 20% of that. Over the next 10 years, let's grab 15, 20% of that. What growth that would be for the sport in general and for DraftKings to grab new users to play some other sports. God, it just makes too much sense to me. Maybe I'm an idiot. If I am, tell me. Hit me up on Twitter, at DukeDFS. Always open to suggestions, always open to praise, always open to criticism. I like to have conversations. Let's talk some things out and improve the game that we all love to play. Okay, this weekend's slate, we have a five-game slate, four at 10 o'clock, one at 12:30. West Ham, Burnley, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Everton, Southampton, Sheffield, Tottenham, Arsenal, Leicester. Obviously the big game, Arsenal, Leicester there. How about Leicester? Holy balls. Brendan Rodgers, tremendous job there. And if you look at their average age of the team, it's one of the youngest teams in the league, and they're consistently pounding teams week in, week out, sitting third right now on 23 points, tied with Chelsea, but ahead on goal differential, just behind the big two of Liverpool and Man City. Now, I just made a big speech about not giving away all the information, not sharing your expertise, not spilling your candy in the lobby, so I'm not going to do that. We're not going to go through plays. We'll just briefly talk about the games, and then, of course, you can go to elitefantasy.com, sign up there. I think it's like $150 for the rest of the season. It goes not through the end of the season, excuse me, for 365 days. So if you were to sign up today, November 6th, you would have subscription till next November 5th, 2020. Pretty good deal there. Super cheap. Again, I talked to the higher-ups. They said, this is what we're doing. I said, you should charge more. And they said, just go make content. We'll handle the business side. Yes, sir. All right, West Ham, Burnley. Burnley plus 135, West Ham plus 205. Game is at Burnley. 2.5 total, minus 130 on the over. Two teams kind of in a tailspin right now. I think Burnley have lost three in a row. West Ham have lost like three of their last four. Big game for them, for each of these teams, as they move forward in the season. West Ham surely thought they'd be in the top half at this point, currently sitting at 13th, but again, they're on goal differential. United's in 10th with 13 points and a plus 2 goal differential. West Ham, 13 points minus 3. Burnley right behind him in 14th on 12 points minus 4. Two teams in basically exactly the same position, playing two different kinds of soccer. I think both teams have scored 14 goals. West Ham have conceded 17. I want to say Burnley had conceded 18. Again, a big springboard for the rest of their season. Burnley, the home team, got to be where we're leaning here. JBG's likely out. Chris Wood likely out. So it's going to be heavy reliant on Ashley Barnes, Jay Rodriguez, Dwight McNeil, and Robbie Brady actually back. Playing 31 minutes last game, putting in three crosses with a shot. $5,000, perhaps we're looking there as a potential option. Dwight McNeil, good value there. But again, we're getting almost too much into the details here, more than I wanted to. Robert Snodgrass, obviously, had himself quite the game the last couple weeks. Might be someone we're looking to there. Newcastle, Bournemouth. Newcastle hosting Bournemouth, plus 160 for Newcastle, plus 180 for Bournemouth. 2.5 total, even money on the over, minus 20 on the under. You know what this line says to me? I don't know what the hell is going to happen. That's exactly what Vegas is saying. Do you know what to expect from Newcastle? I don't. Do you know what to expect from Bournemouth? Absolutely not. I've told you guys I don't know what to do with Bournemouth. Still looking for my Bournemouth whisperer. If you're out there, you have a job with me any day of the week. But Newcastle, they actually scored 3 goals against West Ham. Pretty good, right? Who were they scored by? Kieran Clark. I want to say Frederico or something like that. One of their center backs, Frederico Fernandez, and then John Joe Shelby. So they had 2 center backs and a CDM score goals. Pretty sustainable, right? No. But they're at home. Bournemouth on the road. Typically, we like to attack Bournemouth on the road. Bournemouth, they can't score, man. There's something going on with that attack. Callum Wilson was so hot. Josh King scored, I believe, last week against Man United. But basically, he just scores from penalty kicks. They struggle to score from open play. That'll be an interesting game. Don't hate Newcastle in that spot. Southampton hosting Everton. Southampton plus 190. Everton plus 150. 2.5 total. Minus 115 on the over. Minus 105 on the under. Absolutely disgusting leg break for Andre Gomez last week. If you didn't see it, Everton playing Tottenham. Young man's son goes in for a tackle a little bit from behind. Catches him a little bit high. The ball was nowhere near. But unfortunately, the way that Andre Gomez stepped after the challenge and then collided with Serge Aurier, just absolutely turned his foot 90 degrees. It was disgusting. Felt terrible for the guy. Young man's son in tears. He was actually sent off in the game. That red card has since been overturned correctly to a yellow card. Ugh, disgusting display right there. I feel so bad for Gomez. He's obviously out for the year, most likely. Son, apparently mentally is okay. I was a little bit worried about his state of mind. He looked pretty broken up about the whole situation. Comes out today for Tottenham, bags 2 goals. So perhaps we're looking at Sonny in the next game, Tottenham-Sheffield. But before we do that, Everton-Southampton. Not sure what's going on with Southampton at the moment. Not loving their form. Everton obviously have been moving up the leaderboard. Down the leaderboard. They're sitting at 17th on just 11 points minus 6. Marco Silva looked like he had it turned around there for a couple games, but they're right back in to their crappy ways. I mean, essentially, since September 15th, they have 4 points. That's 7 games. 4 points from 7 games get you fired. So certainly a game that they're going to be looking to grab a result here. Southampton at home, not great. They have 1 draw against Man United. Other than that, loss, including that 9-0 beatdown to Leicester the last time out back in October 25th. This is a game Everton will look to win. I'm guessing Theo Walcott will get the start. I mean, Moise Keane, what the heck's going on with him? Absolutely banging in goals for Juventus, comes over to Everton. Surely it takes time to settle, especially for a young player like that, but he can't break into the team. Tosun came in last game, didn't do a thing. I'm worried about their attack, even against a team like Southampton who just conceded 9. By the way, their last 3 home games, Southampton conceded 9 goals, 4 goals, and 3 goals. So Everton should see this as an opportunity for 3 points, even on the road. Last game in the 10 a.m. window, of course, the 12:30 game. We won't know team news at lock for the 10 a.m. slate, but the biggest favorite of the slate, Tottenham, minus 150 at home against Sheffield United, plus 475. 2.5 total, minus 135 on the over, plus 110 on the under. Are Tottenham back? Are they back? 4-0 win today? No. I mean, they tied Everton. Come on. They're not back. But I do like seeing Young Min Son scoring a couple goals. Tottenham scored in 3 straight games, but they've only scored 1 goal in each of those games. Where's Harry Kane? Where is he? Dele Alli scored in 2 of the last 3. Harry Kane grabbed a goal against Liverpool, but that was early. That was a header off of a save. No, excuse me, off of a post. Heung-min Son took a shot. I think it hit like basically the upper 90, bounced middle. Harry Kane was alert, heads it in from 4 yards. That's Harry Kane's last goal since September 28th. Not great. But certainly someone will target here. Sheffield obviously having a hell of a season, sitting in 6th place right now on the table, 16 points, plus 4 on the goal differential for Sheffield United, a newly promoted team. Clearly, they're known for more of their defensive prowess. Actually, Lundstrom showed up with a Brace last game, scoring the 17th and 43rd minute. And that boy, John Fleck, who's taken some set pieces now, look at me giving away some information, scored a goal as well. A 3-0 win against Burnley at home last time out for Sheffield United. Sheffield do have a 2-0 win on the road against Everton in their pocket. They also tied West Ham, tied Watford, tied Chelsea. They're playing the top six tough. They're here to stay. I'm actually super impressed with what they're doing there. So surely a game will target some Tottenham, biggest favorite on the board, decent total. But I think the ownership is probably going to trend towards this last game. We have Leicester hosting Arsenal, plus 105 for Leicester, plus 245 for Arsenal, total of 3, minus 115 on the over, minus 105 on the under. We think we'd see a day when Leicester would be big favorites over Arsenal. I guess so. At the start of the season, I guess so. Unai Emery, how's he still have a job? That his captain's throwing the armband and his jersey on the floor, telling the crowd to F off. They can't keep a lead to save their lives. Yeah. Yeah, or Leicester are big favorites. I think they're going to win the game. I think Jamie Vardy bags a goal. And I think Arsenal perhaps score a goal, but likely get shut out. There you go. I said it. How about that? But we're going to go in depth on every single one of these games. We'll look at some expected goal information. We'll look at certainly game previews, how these teams match up. Certain matchups you want to exploit over on elitefantasy.com. As always, I'll have my recommendations ranked in order, point per dollar, for both, forwards, midfielders, defenders, and the crucial goalkeeper category. I hate it that that is sometimes the determining factor between a good cash and taking down a tournament, but that's just the way it is. So we got to spend some time on it. And you know what? That's going to do it for this week's Talking Soccer Podcast. Bit of a downer this week, but hey, I want some feedback. Give me some feedback on Twitter at DukeDFS on what we can do to grow this game. Good community of people, a lot of fun, a lot of winners, but we need to grow this game. Let's do it together. We'll be back next week for episode 37 of the Talking Soccer Podcast. I'm out. Adios.